This is part two of the Altcom Cast podcast for the Alternative Comedy Cabinet Nights at the Riverside from June 6th, 2013. This is the second part of the night, which we've recorded the whole of and split it into two. So if you haven't listened to the first bit yet, it doesn't matter a great deal.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage your host for this evening, Sean Morley! Can we have the appropriate lighting stakes, please? Didn't learn from last time. Did it the other way around. Can we have a good interval?
Yeah.
Did you have a good interval? Yeah. And then the man asked about my interval. What did you do at your interval that you're trying to hide?
Just on the chat. It's difficult to tell who you're looking at when I'm in the room.
It's suspicious, isn't it? What have you done wrong?
Did spend a lot of time looking at people who have cats positioned like beards.
Cats positioned like beards? Yeah. Presumably on a phone, not in the pub. That would be a very odd coincidence, but there'd be more than two. And two things to look and comment on does not an interval make. What do you do?
I do mechanical testing on glassware.
Mechanical testing?
Yeah.
More like.
We break glass for a living.
Break glass?
Yeah.
More like. These guys know. Brilliant. The gig has become what I want. A gaping hole where comedy could be, at which everyone is laughing merrily. Let's keep this ball rolling. Not that there is a ball. Or even the implication of motion. No, too far. Too far. Do some material. Right. We touched upon my virginity loss, didn't we? And now, let me just keep going, what the bit that comes after that, if I was doing a normal set. So I didn't lose my virginity, do you remember? We all... Do you remember when I didn't lose my virginity? I do. We were 23 and not having enough jokes to tell on stage. I decided to trudge up that little bit of regret. No, it was a bad time, it was a bad week. And I thought I was having a terrible week. But then I read in the paper... and the same week, there was a boy called Ben Sterland, who was 14 years old. And the same week that that episode of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire aired, he was in school playing with a pen lid, and it went in his throat, and he choked on it, and he died. And no, that made me feel a bit better. That made me feel a lot worse because I became very jealous of him. Because he was just playing with a pen lid and it went in his teeth presumably, and it fell in down his throat, and apparently the safety hole they had then actually just gets bunged up with mucus almost immediately and didn't stop him dying. So as a result of that, all the safety holes had to be much larger to account for that. And so he's affected quite a large area of industrial EU health and safety law relating to stationery. What a legacy to have. I mean, none of us know his name. But we all know Ben Sterman's name, don't we? The Daily Mail said he wanted to be a chef. He's so much more than a chef, though. He's a martyr. A martyr No, because he died so that other children wouldn't have to. Pretty much, I mean, he's not Jesus, but he's in the same Wikipedia category. No, I just really admire him, and, you know, he wasn't even trying. He's got such a legacy, and so whenever I see anything that could be safer, I will try to use it to die. And now I want to fix a bit of new material onto that, which I'll flag up so I don't lose your trust. I mentioned the Daily Mail reported that he was a chef, and that I'd left unchecked when I do that. And some people might think that I bought and read a copy of the Daily Mail. Loads of strangers I've never met, and I never at any of those gigs bothered to point out that that's not what happened at all. I was, in fact, well, I was at home with my mom, and she sent me out with the family cow. Because we didn't have any food. And I went to the market. I thought, these people are clearly so middle class that they think what I'm saying is unfathomable. That one would own a cow. And yet, they are mostly from Leeds. Yes. I had to go out with the family cow to get some food from the market. But before I could get there, there was an independent salesman selling newspapers. And he said, buy this newspaper, it'll be the cure to all your problems. I said, well, brilliant, that's what we want. We are beleaguered with problems, both economically and socially. I would love to hear this solution you have. And so I took the paper back home. My mum was furious. Not because of the paper. Any paper in bartered for a cow, I think, would have elicited the same response. And she threw it out of the window. And then we thought nothing of it. I don't. Yes, we put it to rest. We didn't argue about it all night. I don't. What do you do to keep issues alive? We buried the hatchet. We went to bed and we thought nothing of it. Hi. I can't. It's Jack and the Beanstalk.
I've been up and down.
You've been up and down in this venue or in Jack and the Beanstalk?
Top up, Beanstalk. Back down here again.
I might abandon my material in favour of something better. What? That'll be the low air density for the intoxicants.
Drugs, yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably the best.
Pardon? Stop laughing, guys, he's not amplified. Sorry, I'm not catching every second word.
I'm not
Oh, some of it is the mumbling. Are you alright?
Slightly insane.
I'm not, I'm sorry, it's not coming through. Micro earphone. This guy. Would you like to have a seat?
There's one for me. There's one for me.
Yeah, that one is allocated for you. There's always one.
There's two. There's two there.
Oh, you seem to be burdened with the prospect of choice.
Opposite sounded a bit like a Tesco's.
I'm talking like a Tesco's.
No, it's a bit like a Tesco's.
Oh, I because like they have many items in the and it was proved there are two chairs.
You talk like a Sainsbury's.
I talk like.
You do well in Sainsbury's.
I do well there.
You're very nice and polite. Well,
I know, many people have said Sainsbury's is an environment where I flourish.
Do you want to sit
yeah. and sort of join in?
Yeah.
You understand the format of what's happening? It's like a performance show. Yeah. I mean, there's some people here to whom that's probably the case.
So what's your name?
My name's Sean.
I'm Matthew. I just wondered if you had a Narnia sort of experience.
I mean, I think we should wrap this up. Unless it feels like exploitation. I was telling a story, which you weren't to know, but I might go back into that story.
Pardon? I just shut my mouth.
Otherwise, people would be, you know, would be competing. And I am wired up to this. So I'd probably win. So... We went to bed and we thought nothing of it. But to our great surprise, in the morning, a great big tree had grown out of the ground. But it wasn't like a normal tree. It was
a conker tree.
And here we reach the impasse.
Impasse? What's that mean?
In one respect, you're making it very easy for me. In another, you've rendered the proceedings impossible. I have... Wait, hang on. Did you buy a ticket, did you? You didn't buy an entry. I'm afraid this is ticketed, and it is £1 million. And it's not fair on everyone else who all paid £1 million. It's not £1 million. Guys, did you all pay £1 million again? Yeah, if you pay £1 million, you can stay. Unfortunately, it's just not fair on them, really.
If you get £1 million.
Pardon?
Sorry, if you got a few £1 million, but...
Have you?
No.
Oh. I mean, I'm sorry to...
You're fine.
I mean, are you capable of not letting your thoughts tumble out?
Yeah. Depends if I'm talking. Well, are you? You're talking to me.
Yeah, I am. Because I am fanning the flames. Although, when you are running a comedy gig, it is prudent to pay attention to a fire. I'm happy to not talk about my Jack and the Daily Mail school story. Because at best it is frivolous, and it does lead up to a 3-tier pun. It won't be great, so now I've sort of structurally compromised the punchline, but also we will get 1 minute in, and then we'll stop for a detour. We would not have got 1 minute. I really don't want the recording for this just to be discussion hour with homonym man. Not homonym. It's just.
I'm
gonna smoke it anyway.
What's
smoke
outside?
I'll smoke it
outside, yeah.
Just rolling. Thanks, Dan. I'll refund you your £1 million. Right. It's like manna from heaven tumbling all over your house. There's this tree outside! But it wasn't a normal tree. It's not. It's like Sisyphus's joke. Oh, you're all so clever! So good! Not this side, I'm sorry. Sisyphus was a. But it's strange how all of them seem to get it. He was the guy in Hades who had to push a rock up a hill. And it always rolled down again. Dull.
More about
cows. Yeah, I mean, it really sort of feeds into my Zeus thing, if you're all paying attention. Which I'm just having to sort of draw anything I can. Because, wow, I won't need to do it soon. We'll get back to £1 million worth of comedy. Who here has a job? How have you raised the sufficient first time?
We all won the lottery.
Well, of course. Because we're a lottery co-op, aren't we? The mythos thickens. just academic and archaic word choices with them. They absolutely love it. That's because they are from the Leeds middle class, where the ownership of a barnyard animal is unthinkably. Yeah, you're right to laugh at them. So that I feel a bond with this side of the room. My guys. You've been the smiliest this gig, I can't tell you that. It's been a treat. Not only being up here, being smiled at.
What
but... lunch rate? I don't know what that means.
That
really
was alternative, man.
And then the MC cajoled the mentally ill. And it's the best bit of the show. It was so good before. But also, having done that, having cajoled the mentally ill, I'm no longer in a position to mock the Daily Mail. Stop it! Alternative comedy is about long strokes to people that don't understand. Not a confused man. Let's do some bloody comedy. In the form of Adam Baxter, the most esteemed travelling quotologist.
Thank you. This next one, in the eyes of, people who know talent when they see it. And Ringo, this is from Simon Cowell. People are happy to hear what he says. And this, actually, I can definitely verify was from him. I was right next to him when he said it. It's one of those few times when you catch a celebrity, they're out of their element, you know. You're able to hear what they say in daily life, and it's just as profound as it is, you know, when they're actually being recorded. So here it is. This is from Simon Cowell. I know they're free for two, but I don't want free. I don't want free pork pies. I'm not that hungry. I'll just have a spare pork pie knocking about. What would be the point? That's Simon Cowell. Next up tonight is Mr. Liam Cook.
Don't worry, I am meant to look like this. It's okay, you can laugh at me. I've got something that's known in the trade as a medically fucked spine. I got this gig as a care in the community spot. It was this or bricklaying, and I'm not very good at that. I know that joke's not really that alternative, so just imagine that I'm perfectly normal looking, and it was really postmodern. Also, I might fall over. I just thought, the last time I was near someone who's taken that many drugs, they shat themselves next to me on a bus. At least this guy didn't have a 6-foot-tall tracksuit and a massive Mohican, and he wasn't shitting himself next to me on the fucking bus. I'm quite a lot happier. the last time I was meant to be playing this gig, I missed it because I was running away from hospital in a white jacket and a hospital gown whilst being chased by the police. That's not a joke. That actually happened to me. And the sad thing is, the reason why that happened isn't very funny, it's quite sad. So just imagine I fingered a monkey. I'm not sure if it's wrong to finger monkeys, so imagine I did it in a library. They frown on that. I think it's a three strikes and you're out policy in the library. I like that joke far more. That's most of my act. I forgot all of my jokes. How many people here live alone? That guy. That guy. And we're all quite shy. We should all plan to meet up at some point in the future and then not do it because we get sad. I'm kind of living alone, and there are certain moments when you live alone that it sort of all crashes together and you sort of understand the state of life. I've had two of those in the past week. The first one was when I threw an empty bottle of vodka at a spider. You know something's going wrong because I missed the spider. And the spider stared back at me and went, "Seriously, mate, you've got to slow down. There's no one else at this party." Apart from me, but I am a spider. The other moment was I was playing a game. Not a lot of you actually play video games, as we've previously found out. I was playing a game called Banjo-Kazooie. Has anybody heard of Banjo-Kazooie? It's a game for 7 to 12-year-olds. I'm not very good at Banjo-Kazooie, and I tend to get quite angry. And there was a moment in the game, Banjo-Kazooie, when I was chasing a purple anthropomorphic rabbit. And I was losing this race quite badly. And so I shouted at my Xbox, "Fuck you, you rabbit cunt!" I don't think it's right to call a rabbit a cunt, because the rabbit's done nothing to you. I don't know what I was expecting from the scenario, that the rabbit would turn around and look at me and go, "Seriously, mate?" I should go back to some more material about how I look strange. You seem to find that great. It's alright, it's basically my act. I've actually got an operation coming up in about a month to straighten my spine. I'm a bit worried I'm going to lose all of my material. I mean, my quality of life will improve quite a lot, but then again, I might not be able to go on a stage and just get that many laughs by standing still. Actually, I just realised this is going to be a podcast, isn't it? Yeah, it might be, yeah. I don't actually have to tell anyone that I look strange, because I sound quite normal. In fact, I'm black. Don't you guys just hate it when the white man puts you down? More stories. Oh yeah, I came out as a Marxist the other day. I did. Now, you might think that coming out as a Marxist isn't something that really requires a coming out ceremony, until you realise that most of my friends are from a grammar school. And this is the same grammar school that when 3 years ago they had the mock elections, for the real general election. The British Union of Fascists won with a landslide victory. Another point, I live in Bradford. Bradford Grammar School. And now, Bradford has a fairly high population of Asians, and they all went to that school. And they all voted for the British Union of Fascists. You have to be really posh to turn around and look at yourself and go, maybe I don't deserve a place in this country. I actually ran as the British Humanist Society, and I realised that not believing in God but being cool about it isn't a very strong political position. I walked up to the podium and went, just be cool, guys, and walked off, and I didn't get any votes. more stories. I live near Barnsley. I went to a school in, I don't live near Barnsley, I live in Bradford. But I went to a college that's quite near Barnsley, and so it has a high intake from Barnsley. And Barnsley's a fantastic place because it's a place that has really weird and varied vocabulary that's both lyrical and beautiful, but bluer than a fucking smurf. It's fantastic. And I heard two of my favourite phrases in a week. The first one was, I was writing them all night. I was as nappy as a pig in shit. Not something particularly sexy for the bedroom environment. But the worst one was, we all know the phrase, throwing a hot dog down a dark alley. It's not a pretty phrase. We all understand it's not a pretty phrase, but we sort of live with it because it serves a purpose. Well, two purposes, one of which is literally throwing a hot dog down a dark alley. I did that once to try and catch a raccoon. Didn't work. Another true story, sadly. But Barnsley has rejected this phrase because they've thought of something better. You may as well open a window and fuck the night. Now, I like that phrase because it sounds like something Batman might try just once. In full kit. Yeah. Is Butler saying, no, Batman, it didn't work last time, it's not going to work this time. He's trying his hardest. But no, if you thanks. One person laughing after the joke, yeah, filled the crowd. Has anybody had any experiences of hospitals recently?
Yeah.
Yeah? Oh, what was it for? If you don't mind telling.
I took two bits of medication that weren't supposed to be taken together, got really panicky, and then got sent to the out of hours GP, where all they did was take my blood pressure and tell me off.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, last time I was in the hospital, I was having surgery on my leg, on my hip actually. And the nurse didn't put the epidural in correctly, and so therefore I had no painkillers whatsoever. I know, it's hilarious, isn't it? Oh, it's comedy fucking gold. So I woke up screaming agony, and as the doctor did describe it, he said, Liam, have you seen the film Alien? And I said, I have seen the film Alien, Mr. Doctor, sir. He said, have you seen that scene where John Hurt gets an alien burst out of his chest? And I went, I have seen that scene, yes. You sounded worse than that. Worse than that. Apparently like the zombie baby from the new Dawn of the Dead remake, according to a scared fellow patient. But then they dosed me up on morphine. A lot of morphine. Like train spotting levels of morphine. It was fantastic. But I started bleeding because I ripped out all the stitches on this side of my leg. And so I shouted, nurse! Nurse! I seem to be bleeding rather profusely. May I have another shock ice? Which is seemingly the way that the NHS treats every illness. From schizophrenia to the common cold, a shock ice. It's nice to know that's where the money goes, and not the beds. there are moments in hospital. There are also moments where you sort of lose all control, and you realise how helpless you are. And I was in the kids' ward, and I was lying next to a baby who had meningitis, and the baby was getting over meningitis, so it was okay. But it shat itself, as babies often do. And I was lying in this bed, and I realised that I had no control over this side of my body, so there was any moment where I could shit myself as well. And I would be sat next to a baby, and we would have a moment of brotherhood. Apart from the fact, it's slightly more socially acceptable if you're a baby and not a 14-year-old who's quite awkward in social situations and can't quite shout, nurse, I think I've shat myself. But I don't think the baby really shared it, because he looked at me and he cried. And I thought, fuck you, baby. If you can shit yourself and I can't, what kind of society do we live in? A bad one. I really should sort of prepare this, but the problem with living alone is that basically I'm doing all my material to the other wall on the opposite side to where I sit, and the wall doesn't really find it funny. So it's quite difficult to ascertain the quality. I had more stuff. No. Learning is bad in the gig. I just noticed you're wearing a Millie Boyce t-shirt. Did you go see the Hitchhiker's Guide to Life?
Yeah.
Who played the book at your gig?
I can't remember. The Impressionist?
John Coltrane?
Yeah!
I had Boyce. It was fucking surreal. He didn't change his accent. He was Boyce playing the book. And when you've had Boyce try to explain the Babel fish to you, it was mad! I mean, no amount of acid can really help you if you're seeing a live version of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and not if Boyce is trying to talk you out of it. that was a good point. I'm quite proud of that. I think that's basically my set. Sorry that wasn't very long, but thank you very much for laughing.
Clean cut, everyone! We're overrunning ever so slightly, so I am going to just introduce the next act, if the next act is okay with that.
Yes.
Now, you have to give him an unreasonable amount of love, as it is his birthday today. And at the end, we will sing him happy birthday. Because nothing makes you feel like the gig's gone weird when everyone sings to you at the end. But before then, it is the unfathomable travelling quotologist, Adam Baxter.
Hello again, everyone. Now, this one is a famous one. I'm sure you will all know it. And I'm sure a lot of people have had this on their Facebook wall at some point as well. It's by Marilyn Monroe. And it is this. I'm selfish, impatient, and a little insecure. I make mistakes, I'm out of control, and at times, I'm hard to handle. But, what was the question again? Oh, that was right, yeah, 200 paracetamols, please. Next act is Dan Nicholas.
Game Monopoly, But one time, it all got a bit too real for me. My sister bought my flat and I got sent to jail. Oh, hi. My name's still Dan. And I still like board games. I like the game Cluedo. But one time, it all got a bit too real for me. And my mum found my sister dead in her new flat. And me in the kitchen holding a candlestick looking very nonchalant. And the vicar was there. I'm kept awake at night by the idea of insomnia. When I say Avril, you say Levine. Avril.
Levine.
Louder, Avril.
Levine.
Louder, Avril.
Levine.
Maybe you on your own, because you're not singing. Avril.
Levine.
And I say Pavlov, you say dog. Pavlov.
Dog.
Pavlov.
Dog.
Pavlov.
Dog.
Point proven, maybe. I played golf on LSD. That was crazy. Imagine having sex with Medusa. You'd be so hard. This side, Greek mythology fans. When I was younger, I used to get into the shower and think the house was crying. I work in retail. A girl at work said to me, "Dan, why is it you never smile?" So I smacked her for her insolence. I then smiled. My manager said to me, "Dan, be nice to the customers. They're probably more afraid of you than you are." I knocked a cow over and cried for hours over what I potentially spilled. Having sex in front of a mirror is like watching porn with people you hate. That's a confession. A group of Australians moved in next door. We're neighbours. I had a girlfriend. And I knew she loved me because she wrote it on my Facebook, therefore it must be true. She said, "Dan, I love you. I love you more than words can say. I love you like the sun on an August day. Whenever I'm with you, I feel safe and reassured, knowing that I've got you to look after me." Someone hacked her account. It was me who hacked her. And we broke up and it was sad and I was distraught, and a lot of my friends kept saying to me, "Dan, you've got to forget about her, she's not worth it, just let her go." So she fell to her death. I started seeing another girl. I bought her a dress, this beautiful dress with birds on it, but she's not a fan of taxidermy. That one didn't really work out either, because we had a conversation and I said, "This is a bit like 500 Days of Summer." And she said, "But I don't see myself as Zooey Deschanel." And I said, "No, I'm Zooey Deschanel." Those were the short jokes. Here come some longer ones with more questionable punchlines. But first, does anyone here have kids? You're the only person who said anything then. Therefore, we're going to have a conversation. Do you not have any kids?
No.
What's your name?
Adam.
Adam, would you like kids one day?
Yeah.
How many? What kind?
Two interesting ones.
Two interesting ones. That's a good answer. And what would you call them?
I don't know.
It doesn't really matter. Because I used to be a babysitter. I used to be quite popular on the babysitting circuit. But it didn't work. It wasn't all roses, though, because a lot of parents didn't like the fact that they were paying me to review their home videos. Here's an example. What would you call them? You still don't know. Think about them. And they come in use later in life. Charlie's first birthday. Unlike previous films, Charlie's first birthday marks a new direction for Mr. Lewis. However, it's still only a marginal improvement on his last film, Charlie Walks, which failed to deliver the sexy zombie movie that the title suggested. In this film, Mr. Lewis returns to the rural roots of his debut, The Birth. However, the Tarantino-esque bloodshed that is encountered here is of a somewhat lighter tone. Got a name yet?
What would you recommend?
No, I just wanted a yes or no question.
Still no.
The characters here, however, are still as intolerable as ever. It becomes hard to say if Mr. Lewis is making a documentary of his family or deliberately trying to satirise them. For the mother, as we know from previous films, is a heartless bitch, forcing the child into tasks that are clearly beyond its capabilities, such as making a wish when blowing out the candles on a phallic-looking birthday cake. Unfortunately, this film comes with a director's commentary already intact. Although Mr. Lewis offers an interesting insight into his family's life, the repeated question, "What's that?" gets a bit tedious. On the whole, the cinematography of the middle-class family's house is fairly awful, and they still haven't finished decorating the kitchen since the first film. The plot is completely unoriginal, and the length of a film requires the tolerance of a patient's tortoise. I can't read this last bit.
Dan.
What? Adam? What was that the one? Yeah. Do you want to come on stage and read this last bit for me?
I think you're doing that.
It's funny if you do it, though.
I don't know.
It's my birthday. So, right, you can read a sentence and then it'll be over. Adam!
Adam! Adam! Adam! Adam! Adam!
Just here. Let me just adjust the mic sound for you. I'll whisper it in your ear if you're having trouble reading.
I am having trouble reading. The plot is completely unoriginal, and the length of the film requires a tolerance.
Let's do it like a boom mic.
The plot is completely unoriginal.
Can you do any accents, Adam? I think we need an accent if we're going to get this on BBC Three. Someone call out an accent for Adam to
Slovakia.
Dutch.
Irish.
Welsh.
Welsh seems
Dutch.
Accessible enough.
Give me an example of a Welsh accent.
Oil.
The plot is completely unoriginal, and the length of the film requires a
Can you do it in the style of Daft Punk?
Dan Nicholas,
and this has been Adam. Thanks. Dan Nicholas! Right, we are overrunning. How do people feel about having slightly shorter intervals over the tour at 10, 12 minutes?
Yeah.
So we can get through everyone. Please do try to come back on time, because we can run in no length time. I'm wasting time. Have fun! Can we have the appropriate license? Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage your host and compere for the evening, Sean Morley. We had Liam on before. As Liam hinted, he missed a gig previously, which I didn't know that he was going to be late or that he couldn't make it. All I got on the night was a phone call from his mom. So is it all right if I tell this story?
Yes.
Yeah. So can. Tell his story. She said, "Where is my son?" Told him. And so he's supposed to be coming here. Who are you? I'm just a man who met your son and told him to come meet me in Ch- oh, I see. Why, you may be concerned. Oh, lost my son. I thought, well, I'll just use my witty repartee. And I thought, oh, you've lost your son. Rather careless. Because the importance of being honest and, you know, sort. But then in that, it's his parents, which, it just, she took offence. I basically called her a prick. With precisely the same comment I was using to try and show that I was not a paedophile. went downhill from there. And if they were to go on Liam's Facebook profile, they'd just see a few messages every now and again going, "Can you confirm that you are going to be coming to Sheffield?" Also, let's just chat about comedy and stuff. It's funny that you're 16 and I'm a grown man and we're friends. It's all interesting, isn't it? Seems so innocent at the time. That's that bit. Doesn't really have an ending because he didn't die or anything. He was fine, which was why I was able to do that material at the end of the show when the police had rang. Because before a minor has been found alive and well, that in comedic terms is definitely too soon. If there's a line, that's it, and it's quite... No shades of grey there. Don't mock the potentially dead. Right, shall we crack on with a little slice of something I like to call comedy? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, the ignoble travelling cosmologist Adam Baxter.
Thank you. And here's my next quote for you all. Alright, well, what was the fucking point of that then? Oh, sorry, I forgot to mention that. That was by St. Francis of Assisi. And he was saying that to heaven while he stood next to a dog that had just been crushed by a fallen tree. Sort of think he would say. Please welcome to the stage Mr. Josh Sadler.
Hello, how are you doing? You alright? Yeah. Alternative. Right, okay. I live with a man called Barry. We have one key for our mailbox in our apartment. And Barry went on holiday recently and took the key for the mailbox with him. And he sent me a text message to say, Josh, I've taken the key for the mailbox on holiday with me. I posted it to you though, you'll have it by Wednesday. It's not a joke, it's just something that happened to me. Not alternative enough, though, is it? All right, okay, hang on. I've got a bank statement here. And the thing I want to tell you about this is that... the thing that I want to... Sorry, hang on a sec. So, what's your name?
Marcus.
Marcus. Are you a sandwich, Marcus? It's yes or no. Are you a sandwich? You're not. Don't lie to me. If you are, and I find out, I will know. Are you a sandwich?
No.
Are you a sandwich?
No.
Okay. Good. Look.
Listen,
Marcus. I'm sorry. Look, I didn't mean to. The thing is, I have a thing about sandwiches. I just, can you do me a favour, Marcus?
Yeah.
Can you just read me out the name on the top of this bank statement there?
Mr. J.M. Sadler.
That's me. Do you remember that from the beginning? The girl's got a shout at you. There's something in the black circle there. Can you just read that out?
Subway.
Do you remember I was getting very angry about sandwiches? Yeah, Marcus, can you please read out for me what it says in the red circle?
400 centimeters.
Now, I had one sandwich. And I thought it had cost me £4.79. I don't think it's flattery, Sheffield, to assume that you can work out what's gone wrong in that interview. Do you think the man in Subway could work out what's gone wrong? Aye, mate, look. No, I don't want a sandwich. Look, you've made a massive mistake here. If you can just have a look at the black and the red circles, you'll see what's gone wrong. In what way have we made a massive mistake? Well, in one of two ways that I can imagine. Either one, I've come in, I've asked you for a sandwich, and then you've charged me wrong. Or two, I've come in, I've asked you for a sandwich. You thought I said 100 sandwiches. And then you only gave me one anyway. The thing is, sir, we do get a lot of large lunch orders from local businesses, so you know, it's clearly I'm not a local business. I'm just one tiny angry man. So I appreciate that you're frustrated, and also your ludicrous physical proportions. But that doesn't mean that you didn't order 100 sandwiches. Now, for that accusation to be true, there's two things that have to have happened. Number one, they have to have made 100 sandwiches.
And I've forgotten about it.
Number two. I have to have eaten 100 sandwiches.
And I've forgotten about it. As if the man in Subway was trying to imply that when I was a child, my mother went,
Josh, if I told you once, I've told you 100 times. Stop doing that. Do you mean to say, Mother, that one thing and 100 things is the same amount of things?
Yes, Josh! Yes, that's exactly what I mean, you little shit. That's exactly what I mean.
A tiny angry man walks into a bar in Sheffield and he says to the barman, I'd like a pint of lager, please. And the barman pours him 100 pints of lager. And the tiny angry man drinks 100 pints of lager. The barman says, that'll be £380, please, mate. Do you mean £3.8? No, I had one pint. You just drank 100 pints of lager. Surely you must... I've been here for 20 years. I've never seen anyone do that before. Surely you must remember drinking that amount of alcohol. Oh, to be honest, I do feel quite drunk. Knock, knock.
Who's
there? A centipede.
A centipede who?
A centipede who was married to Paul McCartney. Josh. Every time, mate. You're doing it again, right? Yeah? Centipede, 100 legs, Heather Mills. Do you see the... Do you know... Try this, okay. What do you call a Spanish man who lives by himself? 100 men called Juan? No, just how can 100 men living together be one man living by himself? It's Juan, isn't it? I mean, the reason for the joke is that Juan sounds a bit like Juan. Try it again. What do you call a Spanish man who lives by himself? Juan 100? No! Stop! You're doing with Juan 100, it's just Juan, Josh. It's just Juan. It's not Juan 100, it's just Juan. It's just Juan. You just say Juan and then you stop. It's just Juan. You don't have to do Juan 100, you just say Juan and then you stop. There's no Juan 100, you just do Juan and then just Juan and then it's done. You just say Juan, just Juan, Josh. It's just Juan. It's just Juan, Josh. You just say Juan and then you just Juan. It's not Juan 100, it's just Juan. You just say Juan. Just Juan, just say Juan and then and then you just Juan, alright? Just Juan. It's just Juan. Now. It's just Juan, Josh, it's just Juan, Josh, alright? It's just Juan, it's not Juan 100, it's just Juan. It's just Juan, you're right? You just say Juan, it's just Juan. Are you alright, mate? What are you it's just Juan, Josh, it's just Juan. It's just Juan, it's just Juan, Josh, it's just Juan. Not 100, there's a horrible bit of spit on the microphone. It's just Juan. You just say Juan and then you're done, it's just Juan. Please, do not tell me you're doing this bit. No one wants to see this. Look, there's no laughter, nobody cares. He's just whining, Josh, he's just whining, Josh. There's only one thing that can make this worse.
It's just one, Josh.
Please, will you please stop doing this? Please,
it's just one, Josh. It's just one.
I know you think it's a sine wave where if you keep doing it, it'll get better, but it's not working, Josh.
It's just one, Josh. If I've told you once, I've told you 100 times.
Please do yourself, are you? I've got an applause break, it doesn't always get me. Right, fuck you, stop pissing around. You're the subway guy now, okay? Knock, knock. Who's there? You just charged me £479 for a sandwich. Do not tell me you don't remember my name. You, Juan? I'm just kidding. Look, we will reimburse you in full. I can post you the check if you like. You weren't listening, were you, at the start? Sorry?
You know the key for the mailbox? Right, well, as of Wednesday, that will be in the mailbox.
I think Joshua Sadler. Thank you very much.
Josh Sadler, everyone! Last act now. But we had a good time, didn't we, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah.
Pliant fools. Right, we are going to move on to the last quote from Adam Baxter, the travelling quotologist. Cheers!
Hello again. This last one is from someone who can master this stage, okay? This is from Noel Coward, who I think we'll all agree is a man. And he said, as you step onto this stage, never forget to watch out for the microphone. Because it's so hard to recover from a little stumble like that. I mean, if you do stumble, just fall. Alright, just let yourself fall flat on your face. At least then it doesn't look like a mistake. I mean, you just have to hope that everyone else can just sort of improvise and get by without that character in the rest of the play. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's just a play. Doesn't really matter. Yeah, so that was Noel Coward. Please welcome to the stage Mr. Robert Monckton. My name is Robert Monckton. Now, right away, you're thinking, who are you? I'm Robert Monckton. This man here, what's your name?
Tim.
Your brain, Tim, is very like Loch Ness. On the surface, nothing. But your brain, Tim, has unfathomable depths. And what you're doing now, you're trawling those depths, frantically searching for the name of Robert Monckton. Your brain is going, Robert Monckton, 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 Robert Monckton.
On the other hand, you may be thinking, why are you talking to me? I can't remember your name. It's Robert Monckton. Let's be honest, Tim. To you, to all of you, my name, Robert Monckton, means nothing. Great. What about my face? The face of Robert Monckton. Does my face mean anything to you? What's your name over here? This lady here. Moo? Mary. Your brain, Mary, is very like infinite space. What you've done, Mary, you've sent a probe out into infinite space looking for the name. The face. The face of Robert Monckton. Your brain right now is going, the face of Robert Monckton, 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 the face of Robert Monckton. On the other hand, you may be thinking, get your face out of my face. I don't know your face. I know your name. You keep bloody saying it. It's Robert Monckton. Let's be honest, Mary. If my name, Robert Monckton, means nothing, my face, the face of Robert Monckton, means less than nothing. Let's recap. My name, Robert Monckton, means nothing. My face, the face of Robert Monckton, means less than nothing. I stand before you, nothingness. But at the same time as I mean nothing, I, Robert Monckton, mean everything. Why? Because I, Robert Monckton, have touched you. I've touched you, and I've touched you repeatedly. How have I touched you? With the hands of Robert Monckton. But not only the hands of Robert Monckton, with the mind of Robert Monckton. Because I, Robert Monckton, am an author. Yeah, I write books, but you won't see my name on the book jacket, Robert Monckton. You won't see my face, the face of Robert Monckton, on the book jacket. I write them under assumed names. Incredible. Here's a book I wrote. Anyone here read a book, a trilogy if you will? Put your hand up. 50 Shades of Grey. Put your hand up, go on. You. You've read my book, 50 Shades of Grey, I know. Now, I can't remember the name of the protagonist of that book. I wrote it a long time ago. Let's call him Roger Swift. Now, when you read that book, there's no easy way to say it. What's your name?
My name's Kirsten.
Kirsten?
Yes.
When you read my book, Kirsten, how can I put this delicately? Did you, when you read my book, that erotic work of fiction by Robert Monckton, did you, afterwards, do yourself? She did. And I imagine when you did yourself, you imagine the face of Roger Swift. Now the next time you do yourself, you won't be thinking of Roger Swift's face. You'll be thinking of my face, the face of Robert Monckton. Great, another book I wrote, you may have read this one, collection of books. The Bible. Yeah, I wrote that all by myself with no help. What a character I got in the New Testament. Jesus. Crazy motherfucker. Jesus Christ. Straight out of Bethlehem. Now then, what was the genius move of Jesus? What was the incredible thing that I, Robert Monckton, with the hands of Robert Monckton, the mind of Robert Monckton, the face of Robert Monckton didn't come into it. Forget the face of Robert Monckton. You can't forget the face of Robert Monckton. You're gagging to do yourself. Tim, what was the genius move that I did with Jesus Christ?
You're the blind.
Did a lot of things with Jesus. It's not great, is it? Curing the blind. Low level. You've cured the blind, haven't you? Yeah, you've cured your own blindness by wearing bifocals.
Bifocals, no.
Well, you want to try bifocals because it's the step towards homosexuality. My name is Robert Monkton. What am I saying? What am I talking about? Do you want to buy this watch? How much do you want to pay for this watch? £10, £20, £30? What about these shoes? How much about these shoes? £10, £20, £30? What was that? What was that from the mind? How did you come into it? Why am I saying that? I don't know. Jesus, what was the genius? Mary, what was the genius? Mary. How apposite. What was the genius move, Jesus?
Making the Son of God.
Making what?
The Son of God.
I did that! I did that with the mind of Robert Monkton, the hands of Robert Monkton, the face of... Why do I keep saying the face of Robert Monkton? I don't know. No, the genius move of Jesus is this. I made Jesus English. Yeah, I never said he was English. I didn't infer he was English, but you think of Jesus, he's a white man, he's English with a beard. Yeah, I knew you wouldn't want some swarthy foreigner coming over here, feeding our 5,000, taking our jobs, healing our sick, curing the blind. Amazing. Now then, I, Robert Monkton, love economy of language, and I'm going to pick the economy of language. And what I particularly like is the adverse cambium. I like the economy of language of the small ads. The small ads. I'm looking for love. Tim, have you found love? You found love with this lady? Do you love her more than words can say?
Yes.
Wait, what? Yes. More than words can say. You should have said nothing. Now then, this lady in her ad put on here, but she is... One moment. She's put, but she's NS. What is that? NS. What's NS? Come on. Lonely Hearts Column. NS. What is it? Come on. Be here all bloody night. I'm not going to. And what? She, no, no, non-smoker.
Oh.
She's put that down there. She's GCH. What's that? Gas central heater. GSOH. No. As it turned out, gormless, sporadically ovulating harlot. WLTM. What's that? What, WTM?
Like to me.
No, wizened, lazy, tarnished, miserable. NKOTB. Yeah, what's that about? I don't know, I don't understand that. I don't understand. This is interesting. KOW. ALCZYK. What's that? Polish.
Polish.
one that she's... I'm Robert Monk. And the last one, this is interesting. I don't know this one. N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-T-N-L. What's that? No, no. No, no. No, there's no limit. What was your name then?
Kirsten.
Kirsten, right, okay. No reason for asking that. I, by the way, do you know what I mean? I'm not a moment to go. Well, it was good to have a big climax. Haven't got one. Kirsten has. And tonight you've watched me wreck the mic. Watch me wreck the mic. Watch me wreck the mic. Because I've been Robert Morton Dyke.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Robert Monkton. Well, thank you all for coming to the Alternative Comedy Cabinet. I've had a good time, and now I've sweated out all of the moisture in my body. I hope you have done the same. Right, well, that's the end of the night. Thanks a lot for coming. We will be running a thing on the 18th of June in Harrison's, which is going to be this crazy character comedy poetry night thing called Slambivalence. Poetry slam, and we are ambivalent about it. That will be on Harrison's. Look us up on Facebook and Twitter and our website at opcomcab.com. Tonight will be turned into a podcast, so you can relive the dream again and again whilst walking around. As we've reached the point where literally anything is funny, we should all go home. Thank you.